Hello, my friends, and welcome back for this week's episode of the Pirkei Avos podcast. This is Rabbi Shlomo Kohn. I hope you are well. Before we begin, as always, if you have any questions, comments, or would like to reach out to say hello, please feel free to send me an email at Rabbi Shlomo Kohn, KOHN, at gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. For this week, we're continuing with Perek Gimel Mishnah Tes. Chapter 3, Mishnah number 9. The Mishnah begins. Rabbi Yaakov Omer. Rabbi Yaakov says, "Hamahaleich b'derech v'shoina." A person who's walking on the road while he's learning. Umafsik, and he stops. Mi mishnasoi, from his learning. The Omer, and he says, "Ma noe ilon zeh, uma noe nir zeh." How beautiful is this tree? How beautiful is this plowed furrow? I guess this, the greenery looks so nice. The scenery is beautiful. Scripture considers it as if he bears guilt for his soul, meaning he's doing the wrong thing. And we'll get into a little bit of today, the different ideas being expressed in this Mishnah. But just to give a little bit of a recap, the Mishnah starts off, the person's on the way. He's studying. He's learning Torah. And then he sees something nice. He sees something beautiful. He sees a tree. He sees the Grand Canyon. He sees a fancy car. And he says, "Oh, wow, it looks so nice." Stops learning. It's considered as if he bears guilt for his soul. We'll get to that, what that means exactly. But the first idea I want to start off with the Mishnah is this idea, maybe it seems a little bit heavy, this Mishnah. Learning, learn all the time, don't stop. But really there's a lot of it could be taken in a heavy way, but at the same time, it could be taken also in a very positive and, I guess, building aspect to it as well. The first thing that we take notice of in the Mishnah is this idea that it says a person is traveling and learning. And the first thing that's many people, unfortunately, they think of learning. It's something that they do in the synagogue. The Judaism is when I'm in synagogue. When I'm not in synagogue, Judaism is not for me. Or when it comes to learning, it comes to other things. It's isolated to a specific time, specific place, and really doesn't necessarily leave that place. And the Mishnah is telling us something very important, that life is about maximizing our time. And we've talked about this in other Mishnayos, but the way that we can relate to this point, that person's traveling, there's a concept that if we're going somewhere, the Torah comes with us. Torah is not just when we go to shul and we go to learn, it's important to do that, or we have our study partner. But when we have free time, when we have the ability to learn, when we're going somewhere and we're going to be sitting at a doctor's office, or we have a commute every day that we have to work and back, sitting in the car for 20, 30, 40, 50, an hour every day times two. How do we use that time? Do we, just listen to the news, listen to the sports, or do we use it for something a little bit more beneficial, a little bit more useful? And obviously, we need time to relax, to recharge. Sometimes we're not able to learn every second. But the question that we need to ask ourselves is that are we using the time that we have properly? They're one of the great commentators on the, actually, really, you know, the first codifier of the Talmud, the first codifier of Jewish law from the Talmud was the Rif. The Rif is found on, most editions of the Talmud in the back. And what the Rif did is that he took all the tractates in the whole entire, Shas, all the Gemaras, and he took all the halachic aspects and codified it. He pretty much wrote down all the halachic aspects of the Gemara, the parts of the Gemara of the Talmud that are relevant to Jewish law. That's what he wrote down in his Sefer, and he's the first codifier of Jewish law. So it's sort of like a synopsis in a way of the Talmud. It takes out all the agadic portions, all the stories, all these different lessons that maybe are not halachic, sort of slims down the Gemara to more of the halachos, the parts of law that are necessary for daily living. But it's brought down. A rabbi might just say that when a person comes up to Shemayim, when a person comes up to heaven, they're gonna say, okay, you lived, after you come up after 120 years, God willing. But they'll say, okay, you only lived 40 years. You'll be like, what? 40 years? I lived 120 years. What are you talking about? And they'll say, okay, this is, you know what we're showing you up here? The 40 years you live was the 40 years that you lived. And what does that mean? It means that they're going to show him his life of the real life that he lived, of the time that he used properly, of the time that you maximized, the time that you did good things with, learning, mitzvos, treating people nicely, working on yourself. And that sort of gets synopsized. That's the real you in a way, the time that, you became who you are, you got that connection to Hashem. And if we think about it, over a span of a year, I saw something actually interesting. It's coming to mind recently. I saw one of these posts. Someone sent me a message, and it said, like, one of these, like, must have been someone from, like, social media, but it was some financial guru. And he was saying, if a person spends $27.10 every day on nonsense, that means in the course of a year, he'll waste $10,000. Okay? $27 a day on things that you don't need equals $10,000 in money that you blew. It's a lot of money. Doesn't seem so much every day, but over the course of a year, it compounds and it gets to $10,000. Now, the same could be said about time. Think about it. We go to work every day, 20 minutes there, 20 minutes back. How do we use that time? If you multiply that times all the days you go to work, it's a substantial amount of time in a year. And multiply that by I guess the days or the years that a person works in their lifetime, it's even more than that. And it's not just going to work and back, but everybody knows the times that we have that get just sort of wasted. There was a great rabbi. I believe it's, I'm not sure which rabbi it was, but he saw that he made a siyum. He made a siyum. It's just a celebration. He finished a tractate. And actually, for this, he finished the whole Shas, the whole entire order of the Talmud, all the tractates of the Talmud. And his grandchildren, I believe this were Moshe Feinstein, asked him, he said, like, why are you so excited about this siyum specifically? What this celebration? Like, you've gone through Shas dozens, if not hundreds of times. Why is this one so special to you? And he answered that, you're right, I always go through Shas, but this order of Shas, I finish it specifically with the extra moments that I had, that were free to me. All the free moments that I could have just wasted, I started going through Shas and I kept track of where I was. And each time he got closer and closer to his goal till he finally completed the entire Shas. And therefore, it was extremely special to him. But the message is, number one, is that the learning and our relationship with Hashem doesn't end when we leave the study hall. Something we could take with us. I have a rabbi of mine, he always says, the joke is you're always safer with a sefer. Sefer means book. When you go somewhere, perhaps you'll have some few moments. Take a little book with you. Maybe you'll sit and study in the doctor's office. Take a sefer with you. And nowadays, you don't take a sefer with you even. You don't take a book with you. You can listen to a shiur. You can go online, download a class. You can listen to this great podcast or the other great podcast that thank God I'm able to put out. Putting a plug right there for myself. Practical Parsha podcast. Check it out if you haven't already. You could do that and no one has to know about it. Just between you and Hashem. I run. And running could be 20, 30 minutes. I try to go twice a week. And I have to be honest, my first inclination is to not just, I just want to veg out a little bit. I just want to like veg. I want to just like listen to music, I just want to think. And sometimes I do need to do that. It's important to do that. Have some time to just ear your mind out. It's healthy, I think. But at the same time, I feel that sometimes I push myself to listen to a shiur, to listen to a Torah class. And I feel like it's a battle between myself and I push myself to do it. I try to listen to one shiur, two shiurim, that I should try to maximize this time, that it shouldn't, I mean, obviously, even just vegging, I feel it could be, not vegging, but airing yourself out is beneficial, but maybe to do a little bit more, to do something to air out with a shiur, to use that time in a positive way. So this is a one idea from the Mishnah. Probably actually two. This is one idea from the Mishnah. A second thought I want to share with you from this Mishnah is a concept we see that if a person is going on the way, and the commentaries tell us it's not necessarily just going on the way, it could be at home as well, that this could apply. It's just that it's more common when a person is traveling to get distracted because there's so many interesting things going on, you know? When you're in a car, you just want to look out the window the whole time. So there's so much distractions. And the Mishnah is telling us, person studying on the way, and it really could be his home as well, and stops for something which is part of nature, which is part of Hashem's creation. And we're supposed to take note of Hashem's creation. We're supposed to look at the creation around us and say, ah, it's beautiful. Grand Canyon is beautiful. The Aurora Borealis, it's beautiful. All right, we're supposed to enjoy these things. We're supposed to take note of it to recognize that Hashem has created the world. He's in charge of everything. But at the same time, I guess, this recognition, this realization that that we need to have doesn't override stopping us from learning. And the point is that when it comes to Torah study, we need to keep it continuous. We need to go straight. We shouldn't just stop for anything. And, you know, there's a few stories I want to bring out that really brings home this point. One is the story of Rabbi Akiva and his wife, Rachel. So it's brought down in the Talmud that Rabbi Akiva was, till he was 40 years old, he was an Am Haaretz. I mean, he hated Torah scholars. He didn't know anything. He knew absolutely nothing. And he hated Torah scholars. He was anti-Torah. The Gemara says about him that he said if he would see a Torah scholar, he would bite him like a donkey. And the Talmud relates that a donkey's bite is the worst type of bite. It breaks bones internally. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't too friendly to people who were seemed to be observant and wanted to be Torah scholars. But yet, due to you know, events that happened to him in his life, he turned his life around. At 40 years old, he started off with the children, and he started learning Aleph Beis, and so on and so forth. And kept going up the ranks. Now, in the beginning of his journey, before he became a Torah scholar, he met his wife, Rachel. Rachel was the daughter of one of the greatest leaders of Jerusalem, one of the greatest, the wealthiest families in Jerusalem, the most esteemed families in Jerusalem. And she saw the potential in Rabbi Akiva. No one else saw it. She saw it. And she decided to marry him. And when her father heard that she decided to marry him, he told her, "You marry this man, I'm cutting you off." But she decided it was more important for him to marry Rabbi Akiva. She saw the potential that he had to be a true great Torah scholar and decided to marry him. And she persevered. She had to deal with extreme poverty, extreme situations to because of her decision. And at a certain point, she gave Rabbi Akiva permission to leave home to go to study in the great yeshivas. And after, you know, Rabbi Akiva goes and he studies and he studies and he studies and he studies, and he starts becoming the great Rabbi Akiva. After 12 years, he decides to come home. And during this interim, the time that he was away, women would disparage Rachel and make fun of him, that your husband's ditched you, he ran away. And she didn't listen to them. She still, nope, my husband went to learn Torah. And she saw the good in him. She believed in him. And he came back after 12 years. And as he was coming back, he hears these women disparaging his wife, making fun of her. And they say, "Oh, your husband's away for 12 years." And she says to them, If you would go and learn for another 12 years, I would be happy if you would do that. Rabbi Akiva hears those words, turns around, and goes back to yeshiva for another 12 years. Finally, after 22 years, he comes back. Sorry, after 24 years, he comes back with all his students, thousands of students, to his house. And actually, his father-in-law hears that this great sage has come and doesn't even know it's his son-in-law. And they come to the house, and he greets his wife, Rachel, who's really has no money, nothing. She's very living in poverty. And he turns around and tells the students, Sheli v'shalach shalacha. Beautiful line. He tells them, what's mine and what's yours is due to her. Meaning, because of her, you have me, and you have everything that you gained is from me, and everything I gained is from her. Which in essence means you do. Everyone owes their thanks to her. And the sages, and a famous question is brought down in this story, that if Rabbi Akiva came home for after 12 years, right? Why didn't he at least, fine, he wants to go back to study another 12 years. She gives him permission. But why didn't he at least did he not come in to come in, have a coffee, have a tea, say hello? Maybe stay the night and then go back. Why did he just turn around and leave even without even recognizing Rachel, his wife? And the lesson that is brought down from this is that 12 plus 12 does not equal 24. And you'll say, what? What do you mean 12 plus 12 doesn't equal 24? And I'm gonna tell you again, 12 plus 12 does not equal 24. I'll explain. If you take water, how long does it take to boil water? So let's pretend for a second that a gallon of water, to get it to a boil, takes 10 minutes. So you take the water, you put it on the stovetop, you put the oven, you put the stove on high for 2 minutes, then you shut it off. And then you do it again, turn it on for 2 minutes, then you shut it off for 2 minutes. Turn it on again for 2 minutes. And let it wait for 5 minutes. Again, do this a bunch of times. Even if even if you do it 5 times, which is you did it 5 times 2 minutes, it's 10 minutes, the water will never get to boiling point. Because in order to get the boiling point, it needs to boil straight for 10 minutes. Doing it for 10, 2 minutes on, 2 minutes off, 2 minutes on, 2 minutes off, it'll never get there. And that's the idea that the mission is expressing to us here. That 12 plus 12 does not equal 24. 12 years of Torah learning with a break, and then another 12 years of Torah learning is not the same type of Torah learning as doing 24 years straight. And that's why Rabbi Akiva turned right back around, went back to yeshiva. Because 12 plus 12 does not equal 24. He wanted to learn straight. That's what his wife wanted him to do. And that's what he did. And that's why he became the great sage that he is known for. And I think the lesson that we can take out from this is that when it comes to our learning, and this is something which I try to strengthen myself in every day, that when it comes to our own study, we should not, interrupt for things that are unimportant. Obviously, emergency, fine. We should try to learn straight. We should not have any interruptions. We should treat it with the proper respect, because the effect that it'll have on us will be a much more powerful effect if we learn the hasmada, which means with diligence, without stopping, without distractions. And it's not just for us. When we see other people studying Torah, we should try our best not to disrupt them. Obviously, if a person has to, you have to use your judgment, your seichel, your intellect. Our goal should be that we should not try to interrupt people. We should let them study unless we absolutely have to. Wait till after. Write it down. Have a note. Do our best. And, sometimes if it's hard for us, what do you do? How do it's many people will say, it's too hard for me to learn an hour straight. How do you do that? And the way that it's, brought down, that it's taught that you train yourself in learning b'hasmad and learning with diligence and not with interruptions, is that you start with something small. Start with a small amount of time. Start with 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes. And you try for that amount of time. 5 minutes of learning straight. And you do it. You keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it. When you feel strong enough, you're able to do 5 minutes, you do 6 minutes. And you could do 6 minutes, you push yourself to 7 minutes. And slowly but surely, you'll be at amounts of time that you never would have imagined you could have done. And there's great masmidim, great sages that have become great through this process of just building on their small successes to keep going and going and going and going. This is something we need to keep in mind and remember when it comes to our Torah learning, to remember that, to not interrupt, to remember how important it is to know, to remember that it's we're doing something truly important. It's our connection to Hashem, and having an interruption is not going to give us the same benefit and the same boost as if it would be that we didn't have the interruption. You know, there's a story about this certain sage where, you know, his he told his wife, he said, when I'm learning, or maybe she had a store with him together. They had some type of arrangement when he would be studying, she would take care of it. And one time, you know, she needed to get hold of him. She wasn't able to get hold of him. And they lost a certain amount of money. And his wife was maybe a little bit upset. And he said to her, he said, no, you shouldn't be upset. You know, so consider it as if I'm dead when I'm learning. You know, that if you'd be dead, what would you do? That it was so important to him, his Torah study, to learn without interruptions, that he wanted his wife to consider it as almost as if he was not living anymore. That, like, let him just study. Nothing in the world that could stop him. Obviously, you know, I don't know if we're at that level. There's certain situations we have to get up and stop our learning. But the idea is we should at least try to have a little bit of hasmada, a little bit of diligence when it comes to Torah study, and to start small, whatever we could do, and then increase it from there. And also, on a second point, is to be careful with the learning of others, to not interrupt the others, to not make interruption. Let others be diligent in their study and not interrupt them unless it's absolutely necessary. And the final point of the Mishnah, which it's brought down here, is that Mishnah says a person stops mala lav kosev kilu mischayav benafsho. And one of the explanations to this is that when a person studies Torah, there's a certain protection that they have because of the study that they're doing. This is sourced in different places, but the idea is that a person is benefits from a certain protection that they get. That zchus haTorah, you know, especially now in these times, the whole situation in Israel, we want the zchus haTorah. We're trying to increase our Torah merits so that it protects the Jews in Israel, the soldiers, the hostages, Jews all over the world. So we're trying to be mechazik. We're trying to strengthen our Torah learning. But the point is that Torah protects and it saves. And when a person stops learning, they're putting themselves in a situation, like that their soul is going to bear the burden of their guilt, because now they don't have that protection anymore. Anything could happen. So it sort of brings down the importance of a person to keep that focus, to keep that outlook, and to not let things get themselves interrupted or stop, but to rather keep their focus on learning, keep going, keep pushing, and God willing, will become better and better people. So with that, I'm going to finish with today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed. If you have any questions, comments, or would like to reach out, please feel free to send me an email at rabbishlomocone, KOHN@gmail.com. Have a great day.